This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We've all seen the non-GMO hype that's surrounding our food system, and where there is consumer demand, there are farmers who will tailor to that demand. Area farmers have taken to planting acres of non-GMO crops. I spoke with seed specialist for M&M Service Company, Jason Bollard, to talk specifically on GMO soybeans.
There's been some growing interest in planting non-GMO soybeans with the prevalence of Roundup-resistant water hemp really coming into the region. Farmers are needing to put down more and more residuals and vary modes of action, which, in my opinion, they really should have been doing all along. You know, I believe the effectiveness of Roundup really is kind of is what has led to its demise. I mean, it was a product that worked so well that, you know, years ago people got away from putting multiple modes of action out on an acre.
And we kind of got into the GMO generation.
Yeah. Well, I would say that
the most Roundup generation. Misspoke, sorry.
You know, and I would say I'm one of those that I remember whenever I was a small kid walking a few fields of beans, but Roundup beans, I clearly remember when they came onto the market, and there was a big change. You used to see weedy soybean fields, and then they were spotless, and the Roundup actually worked so well that, you know, guys got away from spending that money on the residuals and putting multiple modes of action out. And, you know, anytime you have a non-selective product like that and you're applying it over hundreds of thousands of acres across the Midwest, you know, Mother Nature always seems to find a way to adapt to what we're doing. So I guess with the prevalence, you know, of the water hemp being more tolerant and resistant to glyphosate, like I said, guys are spending that money and changing up modes of action and putting some of the old chemistries we used to use out on the soybean fields in conjunction with their Roundup. So some guys are thinking, why are we spraying Roundup at all? And they're choosing to plant a few non-GMOs.
There are some benefits, as I understand, to planting non-GMOs. I mean, some farmers, you can get premiums for that, right?
It depends on the year. Depends on the year, depends on the variety, depends on what the end user wants. There are different premiums out there for certain soybeans. Some are better for grinding, or some have better protein. I'm not exactly positive what the end processors are exactly looking for, but they do publish some lists of specific varieties that will work for the programs that they offer. And from my understanding, program premiums vary drastically from year to year, depending on anticipated demand and, you know, I guess how much surplus there was from the year before. For the most part, it seems like the non-GMOs are kind of a secondary market. You know, if all of our acres that we currently grow of GMO soybeans were converted to non-GMOs tomorrow, I mean, we'd flood these programs and there probably wouldn't be much of a premium offered, would be my guess.
And you already kind of touched on this, but reasons farmers started planting GMO beans would be for better weed control and options like that. Have non-GMO farmers encountered more problems with weeds, or lately, since all the resistance, is it pretty much an equal playing field?
It's still not an equal playing field. In my mind, the edge is still in a glyphosate system, and especially as we start getting some dicamba and 2,4-D tolerant systems, which I think we might see for sale as early as 2015, depending on deregulation by the federal government. You know, you still have some of that flexibility with Roundup. There's more weeds in fields than just water hemp, which is primarily what we're having the problem with controlling with Roundup. And I think it's also a key point to mention that, you know, in the mid-90s, you know, there was PPO resistant in these water hemp populations. So the Cobras and the Phoenix and name your post-applied broadleaf product, you know, there were fields in Montgomery County and Madison County, and I'm sure parts of Macoupin County where our PPO chemistries were failing 20 years ago. So really, as we start going back to non-GMO soybeans, we got to remember that resistance is still in our weed population. So I'm not positive that the U of I's found any multiple resistant strains of weeds in our listening area, but certainly those developed resistances from 20 years ago aren't going to go away in the population. So the Roundup still does provide that flexibility. And like I said before, I think we need to get back to putting multiple modes of action and not ever giving weeds a chance to get out of the ground so that we have to deal with them later and potentially when they get out of control.
We'll hear more from M&M Service Company seed specialist Jason Bowler after these messages.
Thousands of farmers every year depend on federal crop insurance to help protect their income from unavoidable loss. And many of those farmers depend on country financial agent Wayne Schaefer to help sort through all the programs available and find the best one to meet their needs. Remember, you can depend on country for all your farm insurance needs. So from the time you put it in the planter till the time it comes out of the ground, you've got coverage from Wayne Schaefer, your country agent in Jerseyville, an equal opportunity provider. Give us a call at 498-5800.
Your family's safety is important to you. By choosing Comfort Pro Propane from M&M Service for your home heat, you can be sure that you're getting a safe and economical fuel. Furthermore, the Comfort Pro staff at M&M Service is properly trained to make sure that your propane system is in proper working order. So don't take unnecessary risks. Contact M&M Service Company today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
If fuel prices are costing you a small fortune, Area Diesel Service can help with 5 new Agricultural Diesel Solutions modules. Now over 400 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower. And these performance modules aren't just for combines. There are modules for light and medium-duty trucks. Truck Edition modules will give your Powerstroke, Cummins, Duramax, Dodge, Caterpillar, and International pickups and work trucks increased horsepower and up to 3 more miles per gallon. Call 800-637-2658 or go to areadieselstore.com for more details.
Outdoor play really burns up the calories, and you'll want to be sure the snacks and treats you serve your children are high in nutrition. That's why when they say they're thirsty, you'll want to pour big glasses of ice-cold Prairie Farms milk or Prairie Farms chocolate milk. For calorie counters, Prairie Farms 2% or skim milk. And here's another surefire warm weather thirst quencher, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer owned.
The non-GMO soybean market is a result of the fairly recent non-GMO food trend. But will it spread? Will we see more farmers breaking into the market? Seed specialist Jason Bowler has more.
Like I said before, there's kind of a niche demand, especially in some food markets. I used to work with some producers who sold quite a bit of food-grade soybeans. I want to say they had to haul them all the way up to Gibson City on the other side of Bloomington. So, I mean, you know, to get these premiums, a lot of the time, you have to jump through hoops. It's not as easy as planting just regular GMO soybeans that you're just going to sell at your local elevator. It takes a lot of time. You have to clean out the planter. You can't have any contamination. And whenever you pull back in the fall, you have to make sure your combine's clean. You can't have any contamination. Your bins have to be clean. You have to make sure that you isolate those fields for purity, because it could take few as a couple beans to throw away your premium on a whole bin. So it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort, and a lot of care to segregate out those non-GMO soybeans.
It's kind of similar to organic farming in terms of having to keep it all separate.
Yep. I mean, just like organics, you have to keep everything separate. Any contamination, you can throw your premiums out. And then really, you would have been better off planting commercial soybeans instead of going for non-GMO premium in that case.
Is there just as good a variety of non-GMO type beans to choose from, and as opposed to GMO beans?
You know, we thankfully live in a capitalist system, and breeding follows where the money is. And if guys are interested in planting Roundup Ready beans, they're going to focus more of their breeding efforts in Roundup Ready beans. And like we mentioned, there is some growing demand for non-GMO soybeans. And actually, I just found out last week that for 2015, we're going to start having some brand new non-GMO varieties released from a couple different suppliers. So it's not just one specific company that has shown, you know, interest to this growing demand, but there will be new varieties out there to take a look at, and they yield exceptionally well, just like everything else. So.
And just to clarify, this switch, it's not for safety or health concerns. GMO beans have been proven to be just as safe as non-GMO.
Absolutely. You know, GMO beans and oil from GMO beans is in our food system today. It has been proven safe over and over and over again. And like I said, there's specialty niche markets that want non-GMO soybeans. And for the most part, that's why those premiums and the beans are out there to cater to those needs. So.
And for farmers who are looking into growing non-GMO beans, do you have any recommendations for them on things to watch out for, whether it be weed control or anything like that?
It's pretty hard to make a blanket recommendation across the whole listening geography, but I would say certainly visit with your local crop specialist. You know, he knows your area the best. The main takeaway is weed control. Like I said before, Roundup offers that flexibility and broad spectrum control. You have to be much more intense in scouting, and you can't let your weeds hardly get out of the ground before you need to be on top of them in a non-GMO system. So, like I said, you can grow non-GMO soybeans. You can grow non-GMO soybeans well and have very clean fields. It just takes that extra level of management and attention than sometimes what some of our bean fields seem to receive. But
and you brought up some different geographies. Have you noticed that certain geographies tend to have more farmers looking at non-GMO beans?
Really, non-GMOs in general, corn, soybeans, regardless, seems to follow the river markets for export and where your end processor is going to be as well. I know there are non-GMO programs down in St. Louis, you know, for barge loading for export. There's certainly always non-GMO corn programs, and a lot of times those are buyer's call as well. So I guess the further you are from that end processor, the further you are from your point of sale, the harder it is to, I guess, make sure you're there in a timely fashion when they do call for those bushels. So, you know, convenience to the river or the end processor, I think, has a lot of a factor as far as premiums and GMO versus non-GMO.
Again, that was seed specialist with M&M Service Company, Jason Bowler. The Lincoln Land Community College Agriculture Club is hosting a luncheon to educate faculty, staff, and students about food prices, food safety concerns, and Illinois agriculture in general. Students are selling tickets for a $6 meal for a reduced price of 50 cents, which represents the amount a farmer receives from the meal by the time the food goes from farm to table. The rest of the meal cost goes into processing, marketing, transportation, and other expenses. Ag Club members will serve the meal and also conduct educational activities such as Ag Trivia. With this week being National Ag Week, the Illinois Beef Association is giving away 5 beef gift certificates for $20. For a chance to win one, you can email me at angela@wsmiradio.com. And now for a fun fact related to beef cattle. Beef is the number one source of zinc in the human diet in the United States. The U.S. supplies 25% of the world's beef, with only 10% of the world's cattle. Again, for a chance to get a $20 beef gift certificate, you can email me at angela@wsmiradio.com. We will announce the winners on air during tomorrow morning's farm show. That's all for today's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.